Yep.
Okay, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're about to start the second parak in Sanhedrin, Daf Yukas 18. Kohen Gadol. So this is the parak that speaks with the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. What are the halachas of the Kohen Gadol? So Kohen Gadol, done. He can't serve as a dayan, he can serve on a bezdin, he can be a judge on a bezdin. Kohen Gadol, done. Done in Oisai. He can't down on a beis din, v'dan on oisai, and he can be brought to justice in front of a beis din. Meid, he can be a witness, he can testify, meidin oisai, and he can be testified about. Now, just in terms of what the chiddush have done, the Gemara is going to ask the question about what's the chiddush. What is the Gemara teaching us in any one of these things? Seems to be a devil question that a kohen could be a dayan. Why should he not be able to be a dayan? What is he different than everybody else? The Gemara is going to address it, but the Meiri writes, and it'll be similar, we'll see later on in the Mishnah, that a melech cannot be a judge. And the rationale over here is that if someone, when the beis din is sitting together, every one of the dayanim has to have his own independent opinion. And we go after the majority, and that's how we're able to figure out how to rule. Now, it's very intimidating for the dayanim to sit on a beis din together with the Kohen Gadol and to be able to take a position against it. After all, he is the Kohen Gadol, he's the high priest, and everyone has special respect and regard for him. So if he's going to issue his psak, it's going to be very difficult for the other dayanim to take a position against him. So that would be the reason to think that he cannot be a dayan. But done in Oisai, and he can be brought to beis din. Meid, he can testify meid in Oisai, and he can be testified against. Chaylitz, he can perform the mitzvah of chalitza if his brother dies, rachman al islam, without any children. So there's a mitzvah of yibum that he should marry his brother's wife. He should marry the widow. So the halach is a kohen gadol can perform the mitzvah of chalitza v'chaltzim l'ishtai, and if unfortunately he dies without any children, his brother can perform this of chalitza on his wife, which means that he's not going to marry her. Rather, they'll do chalitza. Now, why not? Why would one think he cannot do chalitza? Yeah, the Mishnah is going to speak to that in a minute, that he can't actually marry her. But why would one think he cannot do chalitza? Again, this is an issue of the covenant of the kohen, because in the process of chalitza, the almana, the widow, spits in front of the kohen gadol. And one would think it is not appropriate for a woman to come and spit in front of the Kohen Gadol. Miyab minas ishtai, if Rachman al-Tzlan, he dies without any children, then his brother can perform the mitzvah of Yibum on his wife. Avahu eina miyabim, he cannot perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Why can't he perform the mitzvah of Yibum? Bepnei shu asur ba'amana. A simple halacha, it's before in the Torah, it's a part of the Torah that says he cannot marry an amana. So regardless of the fact whether it's a mitzvah yibum here or not, there's a problem, it's a prohibition of the Torah specifically says he cannot marry an amana. The Gemara is going to discuss later on why not. It really, theoretically, the entire mitzvah yibum doesn't really fit within any of the mitzvahs. There's an isser for anybody to marry his brother's wife. So we're going to discuss that later on in the Gemara. If one of his relatives die, any yitzah after mita, he can't escort the mita. He can't escort the body. Aval hein nichsim v'hu nigla, hein niglim v'hu nichsim yitzi ma'am ad pesach shara'ir. So basically, what happens over here is he can escort the mace, he can escort the mita, but only in the fashion that he is only going to be visible when they are not. So basically, Rashi explains that as they're walking through one alleyway, he stays one alleyway behind. Like this, he doesn't come close enough to the mita, because there is reason to believe that since he is in such tsar over the passing of a relative, we're going to allow him to come too close. He'll come very close, and he's going to touch the mace. The Kohen Gadol has special dinim that he can't even be metame to any family members. So therefore, he can't get close. Divir Meir, that is the sheet of Meir Yehuda Eimer, Eina Yaitze Min HaMikdash, he can't even leave the Mikdash Mishum Shenemar, for it says in the Pasuk, Umin HaMikdash La Yaitze, he cannot go out of the Mikdash. Shukum Menachem Acherim, if he's coming to comfort, to be Menachem other Avelim, Derech kol ha'am ovrim b'zachar zeh. The way it was that everyone passed by one after the next when they came up from the Beis HaKfaras, and everyone wished the bracha to be Menachem. The mamuna, which is discussed in the Maseches Yuma, that someone was always pointed instead of him in case anything happened where he couldn't serve. There always was an assistant to him which was readily available. So he would be mematzai, he would place him in the middle. In other words, he would stand on his side, so just the kohen would be between the and the mamuna. When others came to console him, Anu kaparascha. The entire nation was saying, "We are your atonement." The hate, v'hu aymer lahem. He says back to him, "To sparchem and hashemayim, you should be gebenched. You should get a bracha and hashemayim." K'shemavr noisay. This is how broad halacha is that any oval does not eat his first suda from his own. He is given food by others. When they make that meal for him, when he loses a relative, call on the suban al aretz, out of respect for the kayin, they take some of the avelos upon themselves, and everyone else sits on the floor. Who makes a val safsal, and he sits on a safsal. It's not like this. We showed him what this safsal looked like, if it was a regular chair, or if he actually sat low, like we did on Tisha B'Av. But the bottom line is that everyone else, and the rest of the nation, has to sit on the floor and take upon part of his avelos. Hamelach. Now to contrast the dinim from a kayin gadol to a melech, to a king, loydan v'loydan in oisai. Why a melech cannot be, a melech cannot serve on a beis din. And the Gemara that we discuss, Mitzvah Shema, tomorrow's daf, why not? And it's because of a story that happened, and it's not necessarily all kings, there are only some kings who cannot serve on a beis din. And there was a terrible story that happened with a very sad ending. I'll keep you in suspense till tomorrow to find out what that was, but it didn't end well in a case where a melech was brought to din. And we're going to see that it's dependent one on the next. If you cannot be brought to din, you can't serve on a beis din. Loi meid loi meidin oisai, he can't testify on beis din. Loi chaylitz loi chalson ishtain, he cannot perform the mitzvah of chalitza if his brother dies without any children, and that is out of covet for the melech, because we don't want the amanah to be spitting in front of him. Loi meyabim loi meyabim ishtain, he cannot perform the mitzvah of Yibam, and why not? That's because of respect. It just doesn't suit the melech to have to be secondary to his brother who passed away. He shouldn't have to fill in the place of his brother. Yehuda Eimer, because of that rationale, Yehuda says, in Ratzah Lachleitz Eliyabim, if he decides he would like to do it, it's perfectly fine. It's up to him. In Zachor Latayim, it'll be a beautiful thing. Amru Lai, the other Chacham, said to him, Ein Shoymen, Lai, no, a king cannot forgive on his covet, and he can't let it go, and he cannot perform the mitzvah of chalitza or yibum. Ve'inayis na'amanasai, we won't let anybody else take his place as the melech to marry his amana. Yehuda says, Naisi ha'melech amanasai shamelech. Even though a regular common folk cannot marry the wife or the amana, the widow of a melech, however, another melech can, and he brings a raya, shekain, Matzinu b'David, for we find the same thing by David. Amalach shenasa amnasa shoshal. He married one of Shaul's wives, Shenemar, for it says in the pasuk in Shmuel, Ve'etn lecha es beis adonecha ves neshe adonecha b'chekecha. It says clearly, ves neshe adonecha, the wives of your master, referring to Shaul, was given to David. So you see clearly that he did marry the wife of Shaul. And from there we learn that another melech can marry the melech's widow. The Gemara continues. Kohen Gadol done. So this is one of these very interesting Gemaras, and this is really a big klal throughout all of Shas. And that is that there's never going to be a line in the Mishnah that's going to say anything that I could have figured out on my own. The Mishnah is not here to teach me anything which is a davar pasha. Anything which is obvious does not need to be written in the Mishnah. And that's why anytime anything seems obvious, right away the Gemara is going to ask, Pshita, it's obvious, why are you telling me this? And the other way around, oftentimes we find that ever a Mishnah says something which is too big of a chiddush, right away the Gemara will attack it with, you know, hold on a second, you just told me a huge chiddush, where'd you get this from? So this Gemara is full of it. Every one of these facts over here need to be checked. And the Gemara right away starts, Kohen Gadol done. A Kohen Gadol can serve as a dayan on a beis din. You want to ask Pshita, it's obvious. Why can't he? Why is he different than anybody else? As long as he has accomplished what he needs to accomplish, and he knows the halachas, Why can't he serve on a Beis Din? The Gemara says, you're right, that's not really much of a chiddush. However, Danin, Oysai, it's Tzrichalei. The fact that he can be brought to Din is why the Mishnah had to write it. The Gemara says, okay, Hanami Pshita. That's also obvious. What is the big chiddush that you can bring a Kohen Gadol to Din? He did something wrong, or he's suspected of doing something wrong, he can be brought to Din. But besides for that, there's a rule, and we know that one is totally in the next. One is dependent on the next. Eloi Daininen Lei, the Gemara asks, Pshita, Eloi Daininen Lei, Iyo Hechidai. If we're not going to be able to bring him to Din, then how can he be a Dayan? In other words, if it's so pasha to us that he can't be a Dayan, if it's so obvious that he can't serve as a Dayan on the Beis Din, he has to be able to be brought to Din. Because it says, V'aksev his kaishishu v'kaishishu v'kaishishu. It's Pasuk in Tzfaniyah that says, you should search within yourself, and then search within others. And Rish Lakish, Vem Rish Lakish, Keshayit Atzmo Chal V'yachakach Keshayit Acherim. This is a very important rule that it's very often for us to see faults in other people and to go fix other people and to help bring justice to other people. But the Pasuk is teaching us, Keshayit Atzmocha, first make sure that you're sound. Make sure everything's okay with you. First, rectify yourself, and afterwards you can go ahead to fix other people. And that would be appropriate over here in Beis Din. How could a Kayan go serve on a Beis Din to fix up and to make other people better, to bring them to justice, if he himself cannot be brought to justice? One is dependent on the next. So therefore, if he could be a Dayan, it's obvious that he could be brought to Din. Simara says, you're right, this really isn't that much of a chiddush. I did the kavar l'misni melech loydan, since we have to write later in the Mishnah, which is really the next Mishnah, that a melech cannot, a king cannot serve as a dayan on a Beis Din. V'loydan and I say, and he cannot be brought before a Beis Din. Tananami ki agav the kohen gadol dan v'dan and I say. So therefore, we just wrote to contrast it. In other words, we know that Allah is a melech cannot be a dayan. He cannot be brought before a Beis Din. So there's reason to say, you know what? If a melech cannot be a dayan and a Beis Din, then maybe a Kohen Gadol can't either. So therefore, the Mishnah had to write clearly that a Kohen Gadol is different than a melech, and he can be brought before a Beis Din, and he can serve as a dayan and a Beis Din. Levi Yisema, if you want, I could give you another tarets. Hakamashmal, and our Mishnah is teaching us Kedetanya like it is written in a Braisa. In other words, there is something written in a Braisa which is a very big chiddush, and the Mishnah wants to reiterate it, and that is Kohen Gadol Shaharag HaNefesh. That's a Nefesh, a Kohen Gadol who murdered somebody, b'mezen, intentionally, first degree murder. He went and killed somebody. Nerag. He gets capital punishment. B'shoigeg, if it's unintentional, it's a mistake. Goyle, he has to go to Ari Miklat like everybody else. And the Gemara says a strange line, which we're going to have to understand very soon. V'oivra al-sev lezasi, a Kohen Gadol is in transgression of a positive and negative commandment. He is like a regular, simple person for every matter. So again, the Gemara right away asks Akasha, the Mezen Nerag Pshita. What is this Braisa teaching me? What is the big chiddush in the fact that a Kayin gets capital punishment for killing somebody? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Why should it be any different? If you kill somebody, he gets killed himself. Pshita. It's obvious. Furthermore, Meshaygi Gaila, you're teaching that a Kayin Gadol who kills somebody unintentionally by mistake, he goes to Ari Mikla. We needed to write that because we have to say that he goes to Galus if he kills somebody by mistake. That's also obvious. The Gemara says, no, we do need to write it. It's trich. We need to write that a Kohen Gadol will go to Galus if he kills somebody. I would have reason to think. Since the halacha is that someone who goes to Ari Miklat for killing somebody by mistake stays there until the Kohen Gadol dies, so I would think it's a package deal. If you're able to get out, you can go. If you can't get out, you don't go. So the Kohen Gadol, who is the Kohen Gadol, the only way for him to get out is when he actually has his Levaya. So therefore, I would say that since he can't actually get out of the Ari Mikla, so then maybe he shouldn't go in the first place. Ditanan, for it says in the Mishnah, "Ha'hayrig Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol Shaharak, either someone who kills a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Gadol who kills somebody else, Kohen Gadol Shaharak is a Nefesh, Einai Yaitse Misham L'Aylam cannot go out of Arei Miklat forever. And the reason is obvious to both of them, because if you kill the Kohen Gadol, you have no Kohen Gadol to get you out, because he's already dead. And a Kohen Gadol who kills, he can't get out unless he's dead. So, I would say Eimal Ligli. I would say maybe it's a package deal. You should not go to Arei Miklat altogether. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah is teaching us, and the Brisa is teaching us that indeed a Kohen Gadol will go to Arei Miklat despite the fact that he can't get out. The Gemara says, hold on a second. It seems like a very good rationale. Veim Hachanami. Maybe indeed he should not go to Arei Miklat, because if he can't get out like everybody else, maybe he shouldn't go. Omar Kro, one Hashem Ritzeach, Shlon Hashem Kol Ritzeach. The pasuk says Kol Ritzeach, anyone who kills a filu Kohen Gadol b'mashma. It seems like from the pasuk that everybody has to go to Arei Miklat if they kill unintentionally, and there is no exceptions. So I guess the only solution for the Kohen Gadol would be to drive slower, make sure he doesn't kill someone by mistake.
Why does the next one work?
Huh?
Yeah. Why does the
next
one?
It's not done until after. He's still going.
Time.
Yeah.
You just got to go until he dies. That's it. You'll never come back.
Yeah. That's the problem.
But how could he? How they wouldn't replace it? He can do the avoda.
It has to be the Kohen Gadol that was there. A lot of the Mefarshim ask. This is a terrible plight for the Kohen Gadol. Imagine that you have a whole prison. And every day in prison, they added a bracha to Shemayna Esrei that says, please allow the Kohen Gadol to die, we'd like to get out of here. What did the Kohen Gadol do wrong to be subject to be, that everyone is davening that he should die? And they answer that the Kohen Gadol is partially responsible because as a leader for Klal Yisrael, he is obligated to be misfollow that these catastrophes don't happen. And when catastrophes do happen, they are generally a fault of the leadership or of Klal Yisrael as a whole, but the leadership has to take responsibility for it. So the killing that happened under his jurisdiction. In this case, happened by him, which is even worse. So he would have to wait for himself to die. So they said actually the mother of the Kohen Gadol always used to give food to the people in the prison to try to appease them, to try to get, you know, don't be misbehaved, let my son die. I don't know if it worked or not. But
like he needs a driver.
Yeah, he needs a driver, yeah.
And the avoda would be by the Havnuna?
They probably would replace him. So the Brisa pointed out that a Kohen Gadol is in transgression of an Asay and a Lois Asay, a positive and negative commandment. The Gemara asks, why in the world? What did he do wrong? He hasn't done anything wrong. Why are we saying that he is over on an Asay and a Lois Asay? It's like an automatic thing that a Kohen Gadol always has on his hands, an Asay and a Lois Asay. Gemara says, no, really, we're missing some words. Hachi Karma, this is what it should say. Im Avar al Asay v'Lois Asay, Harehu kehedyet l'chol devarav. If he is over on either a positive or negative commandment, he is treated like everybody else. He comes in front of the Beis Din of Shloisha. Now, we did say earlier that a Kohen Gadol he can be brought in front of the Beis Din. But if you remember, the first Mishnah of Sanhedrin said that a Kohen Gadol needs a Beis Din of Shivim V'Echad. Now, that is only for capital cases. But in any other case, the Gemara is pointing out over here that he will face a regular Beis Din of Shloisha of three. So the Gemara asks the same question we've been asking up until now. Pshita, why not? Why should he not face a Beis Din of three? The Gemara says, Salkatai Techamina, I would think, Hayal Utnan ain't done Elias a Shevet, Elias Navi Sheker, Elias Kohen Gadol Elapish Beis Din Shoshivim V'yachad, since in cases of capital crime, you need to have 71 Dayanim. The Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava. In other words, we're trying to give a rationale why a Kohen Gadol would have to always face a larger Beis Din. Ada Bar Ahava says, "Kol Davar Hagadol Yaviru Alecha." As the pasuk says, "Kol Davar Hagadol Yaviru Alecha." Any big case will be brought in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we would think that maybe Dvarav Shel Gadol Ema. Dvarav Shel Gadol Ema. Kol Dvarav Shel Gadol Kamash Malan. In other words, it could be that you could understand as possible to say big cases, not necessarily meaning complicated cases, but any big case, which is a big case, you have a Kohen Gadol who's coming in front of a Beis Din, those are the big cases that need to have a special Beis Din. So I would think that it would require a larger Beis Din for any case where a Kohen Gadol is going to be tried in front of the Beis Din, Kamash Malon, then no, he goes in front of a regular Beis Din. Be'machanami, maybe really that is what the Pasuk means. Gemara says, no, that's not how to read the Pasuk. Miksiv Divrei Gadol, does it say the matters of a big person? Hadavar HaGadol Ksiv, a big matter, in other words, a very heavy matter, which the other Dayanim could not figure out on their own. Those have to come from Moshe Rabbeinu. Davar Gadol Mamash, a very big matter, Mamash, something which is very big. Not just a big, respectable person is being brought to Beis Din. Okay, next. The Mishnah said, Me'id u'me'idin oisai. He can testify, and they can testify about him. Gemara says, Me'id? Really, can he actually serve as an aid? Could he be a witness and testify? But Tanya, it says in the Braisa, V'hisalamta. Now, just some background to this pasuk. This is an interesting pasuk, which says, if you will see your friend's animal straying on the path, and you will turn away from him. Okay, sorry, again, it starts with loy. You should not see your friend's animal straying, and you will turn away from him, which is a backwards way of speaking. The pasuk should just say, you should not watch as your friend's animal is straying on the path. You should indeed return it, or you should not turn away from it. The pasuk is written backwards. You should not see the animal straying on the path, and you will turn away. So the word v'his alamta has very interesting implications. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia, as well in Brachas, understands that there's something to be learned from the word v'his alamta, that there are times that a person indeed should just leave a lost article on the side, and you should turn away from it and not return it. When are those cases? Haketzad, when? Kayin bubiris akvaras, if he's a kayin, and he's passing by a cemetery, and he notices in the cemetery there is a lost article. So a kayin is not allowed to go into a cemetery, he can't become tamei. So he obviously is exempt from the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda because he cannot access the lost article. Zakein, not necessarily referring to someone who's old, but someone who is a respectable person, the einar the fich voideh. It just is below his dignity to return this article. I don't know how many cases of that you can think of, but just imagine seeing either the Chafetz Chaim, or make it more contemporary, Chaim Kanievsky, if anyone was at the discuss of meeting him. Imagine he's walking down the street and he notices a baseball cap and a basketball on the side of the road. And he realizes that this is lost. He can be kind of the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. But it just won't sit right to see Chaim Kanievsky holding a big orange Spalding under his arm as he walks down the block. It just doesn't suit him to be walking down the block that way. Or any other thing that just is below your dignity to be walking through the street or to return this article, the halach is you are pater from the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. And this is one of the big, this is the source of a very big halach of Kavod HaBrias. That Kavod HaBrias, if something is below someone's dignity, often in some cases, a person is exempt from the obligation. So here is the case of Kavod HaBrias. It's something that is below someone's dignity to be doing something, and in certain cases of Shabbos Aveda, returning lost articles, it just would be below someone's dignity to return it. The third case of someone who is not out, who is not obligated to return a lost article and he can turn away from it, is just the amount of effort that would go into returning this lost article would very much outweigh the gain of returning it. So just for an example, someone finds a Bic pen. It's not even such a good example because it could be there's no mitzvah Shabbos Aveda in that altogether, but this could be the reason. Just the amount of effort it takes to advertise the fact that you found a pen and to find the guy and to bring it back to him, it just is too much for a pen that is 10 for a dollar. So in those cases, there is no mitzvah Shabbos Aveda.
But there's no mitzvah. The
mitzvah has value. Yeah, but the mitzvah, what the mitzvah is rated within how much goes in the amount. There is a balance in what is considered part of the mitzvah. Yeah. But the mitzvah is whether or not there is that much value. It could be a pen anyway, such a pen like that. It doesn't fit within the category of adroisha achicha oisko. Nobody would actually come pick up the pen. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Lekach nemar v'salamta. One second. The pasuk says v'salamta, you should know there are certain cases that you can turn away from a lost article. So the Gemara is asking, if there is a pator, if a guy can get exempt from a mitzvah because it's below his dignity, wouldn't it be appropriate to think the same things about a kohen gadol? A kohen gadol is going to come before a beis din, and the dayanim are going to question him. There'll be a drisha v'chakira, and they're going to ask him all kinds of questions. Maybe it's just below his dignity to come to a beis din to testify against, either against or for somebody. So the Gemara says, you're right. It can't be that a kohen gadol is going to come in front of a beis din to testify in a regular, ordinary case. It must. Rabbi Yosef says, Meyid lamelech. It's just talking about a case where he's coming to testify for a king. In other words, the king is brought to beis din, and he's going to testify for the king. And the obvious question, which the Gemara jumps on right away, is that a king cannot be brought before a beis din. That's, we discussed this a few minutes ago. Gemara says, hold on. What's not? It says in the Mishnah, Loidan. For Loidan and Isai, he can't be brought before a beis din. Loimeid and Isai. So both, there's two things that are wrong with it. You can't testify against him, and he can't be brought before a beis din. So the whole case doesn't start. Gemara says, you know what? Ella Amar Rav Zera says it must be talking about a case of the son, the prince, the son of the king. Meyid leben melech. A kohen gadol can testify for the son of a melech. Gemara says, ben melech, hedidu. He's not the melech. He's like anybody else. So why should it be any different than anybody else? If it's below his dignity to be made for anybody else, the same thing would apply to the ben melech. Ella meyid b'fnei ha-melech. It means he can't testify in front of the melech. That means that the melech came along, and the Gemara is going to explain. So the melech, it seems like at this point, the melech is sitting on the in the basin. But again, this is a problem. Because the melech is sitting on the basin. So if the melech is sitting on the basin, so the melech to actually go ahead and question the kohen gadol is not such a big deal. The Gemara again, right away, it goes back. You can't put a kohen on the Sanhedrin. You cannot sit a kohen on the Sanhedrin. So what's the case talking about? How is he testifying in front of the melech? So the Gemara says it talks about Mishum Yikara the kohen gadol asa. Yosef mekabli ne'alei l'sadusei. Kohu v'ozol ma'anyalei. Gemara says what happened was, let's go back to the original Teretz. The Melech's son got into trouble, and he's being brought before the Beis Din. Now we happen to know that the Kohen Gadol has edus; he has testimony to say here. The problem is the Kohen Gadol, it's not appropriate for to schlep the Kohen Gadol to Beis Din to say to testify for a regular ordinary person. So what happened was, out of respect for the Kohen Gadol, the Melech, the father of this boy who got in trouble, comes to Beis Din. Out of respect for the Kohen Gadol, he comes to hear the testimony. Asa v'yasev mekabli nalei, l'sadu say, we accept the testimony from the Kohen Gadol. Kohu v'ozo, now the melech leaves, because having him there is very dangerous. It's very hard to have a melech in the presence of a Beis Din when they are litigating the case, because... Right, we'll see. That's what happened. It basically, he didn't kill them, but the mice with Yanei HaMelech, he was brought to Beis Din, and two of the Yanim ended up dead. So, sorry, I gave away the secret for tomorrow. But we don't want him there at the time that the Beis Din is going to rule on the case. So after he leaves, Uma'an Yonalei Anan Bedinei. The Beis Din will go ahead, and they'll be Ma'ayin in the case, they'll go through the details of the case, and they'll come up with a conclusion. So that's basically how we can have a Kohen Gadol testify. Can have a kohen gadol testifying when it is the melech's son, and the melech will come out of respect to the kohen gadol to say to testify. He'll testify. The melech will leave. The beis din will go through all the details and come up with their final verdict. Gufo, we learned earlier, ein mayshiva melech b'sanhedrin. We cannot sit a melech on the sanhedrin. Lo melech v'kohen gadol b'ibur hashanah. We cannot involve a melech or a kohen gadol in the Ibur HaShanah, making an Ibriyar, adding on a month to the year. Melech b'Sanhedrin d'chsiv le'sana al-riv. This is a little bit of a play on words here. Le'sana al-riv, the Gemara says le'sana al-rav. One should not answer to a rav, to someone who's bigger than them. And that refers to the other dayanim on the Beis Din, that they shouldn't answer back to him. If they're not going to agree with his psak, they shouldn't be answering to him. That's why we should not have a melech on the Sanhedrin. Loi melech the kohen gadol bibur hashana. Why can't we have a melech and kohen gadol involved in the process of adding a month to the year? Melech b'shem aspanya. This is refers to the melech's finances. There are two different pshatim in the Rishonim. The way Rashi seems to learn this is that the melech has a lot of people that he pays on an annual salary. Now, the kohen gadol has vested interest in the nivrayar, because if he adds on an extra year, an extra month to the year, he gets a free month of labor, because he has his people contracted from Nisan to Nisan, and they get paid from Nisan till Nisan, and the contract starts over again in Nisan. So he has a vested interest in adding on another month to the year, therefore we can't involve him in the process because he is an egeya b'dov. The Aruch learns the other way around. The Aruch learns, I don't know, some may have it on the side of the Gemara, and if you be in a little bracket, he writes, "Pirsh ha'itzasha noisin l'chaylois of chodesh b'chodesh v'hu noitel ha'mas b'shana mufazal lehem kol chodesh v'chodesh v'yitzifu chodesh tzarechliti mishalai." He says the other way around, that he has people that he pays on a monthly salary. And how does he pay them? He pays them from the annual taxes. So if the annual taxes is ending 1 month earlier, he has to actually dig into his own account to pay his people who he has on a monthly salary. So either way, the bottom line is either he's going to lose money from this or he'll gain money from it, but he's invested in this case, and therefore he cannot be involved in the Ivriyar because we don't want his opinion to sway the ruling. In Kohen Gadol Mishum Tzina, this is interesting, the Kohen Gadol can't be involved in the Ivriyar Hashanah because he's going to be too cold. What does that mean? Rashi explains that he has to immerse himself in the mikvah on Yom Kippur a few times. If you're going to push off the year, it'll be farther into the winter, and the water is going to be too cold.
Is that the warmer
thing? Yeah, the Mishnah Yuma says the warmer they put in there. I guess it's not as convenient.
It does just
yeah. Yeah, so Tyson said that he's talking about the ritz, but the floor of the Beis Hamikdash would be too cold. The bottom line is, it'll be too cold for him to do the avodah on Yom Kippur. So he does not want it to be an Ivriyar, therefore we can't involve him in the process. So the Gemara has a problem with this. Amar Papa, not really a problem, the Gemara says, Shmame, no, we see from this, Shata Basar Yarcha Azel. The Gemara has a discussion. What happens when you actually change over, you add on a month? Does the season follow the months? Or does it, when you add on a month, it will basically just adjust itself to the seasons? And it seems like, really, we're adding on a month, and the seasons just continue as regular. Gemara says, Aini. It doesn't work that way. There are three, not shepherds, but I guess herdsmen. They were standing, they heard the Rabbana, the Ka'amri, and the Rabbana heard the Ka'amri Chad. One of them said, "In Bachir Velakish Kechada Yenetz Deinu Adar." So he was talking about the wheat and the barley if it was growing. Rashi says, if the ground, in Yiachayim, Filka Rashi, in Bachir, the barley which is planted now, and the chitim which is planted in Rosh Chodesh are growing together. Deinu Adar, it's a sign that it is Adar. V'imlav, if it's not growing, it must not be the right month yet, must still be too cold. V'imlav, less Dein Adar. If not, it is not Adar. V'charam, another one said, Imtur b'tzfar b'teleg yamos. If an ox in the morning is so cold that it looks like it's about to die, but tiara in the afternoon, he's hiding himself under the leaves of a fig tree, and yishtach mishche, and he is rubbing himself up against the branches, deinu adar, it must be that it is adar, again, a sign of the weather. Bimlav, less than adar, and if it's not, the animals don't look like that yet, in other words, it's not cold in the morning and warm in the afternoon, less than Adar, if not yet Adar, must still be Shvat. Charam, or another one said, in Kidum, takaf lechadi hei, yafach b'luecha, nafak lekibli. Basically, if even when the strongest wind, which is, the Gemara talks about the ruach mizrachas, the east wind, the strongest and coldest winds are coming, and still his breath is warmer than that, then dein hu adar, then it must be adar already, because his breath could fight it. In other words, it's not so cold anymore. Vim lav, and if it's not, in other words, if his breath is strong enough to overpower the wind, his breath is strong enough to change the wind, must not be that cold. Mlav lest in adar, if it's not, there must not be adar yet. And because of this conversation that the Rabbanon heard these herdsmen discussing, they went to Ibrua Rabbanon Lahishata. They made it into an Ivar Yar, they added another month to the calendar. So you see clearly from here that the months will, in other words, you won't have colder times because we push it off. In other words, the seasons will follow along with what an Ibar Yar should be. So the Gemara says, V'tizbra Rabbanon Aravasa Samach, you think that the reason why they added on a month is because they heard a conversation taking place between people out to taking care of the animals. That had nothing to do with it. Al Rabbanon Achush Benayu Samach, they made their own calculation. They decided they must add another month to the year. V'roi Ibokar Astu Yehuda Estayim Osai. In other words, they said, look, it fits. It worked. They basically backed up their case against the conversation that was happening over here with these Roy Bakar. Okay, we'll continue to the next stop. We have some more time. Chalitz v'chaltzin. Halach is a kohen gadol can perform the mitzvah of chalitza v'chaltzin le'ishtai, and he can do chalitza for his wife if he passes away, rachmana l'tzlam, without any children. Kapasik v'tani, the Tana stopped and he taught. Loishna min ha'erisin, there's no difference between... In other words, really something's missing over here. He can do chalitza, but he cannot perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Yibum is out. He cannot marry the almana of his brother, because a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. So the Tana is teaching us, loishna min ha'erisin, loishna min ha'asun. It doesn't make a difference if his brother's wife is his wife only because they did erisin, or because they did nisun as well. In both cases, he cannot marry his wife. The Gemara says, "Mishlo menasuin and menanisuin." If they didn't sue in the second half of the marriage, I understand why he cannot perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Haviatsevelis, I say there is a positive and negative commandment, which says he has to marry a besula, he has to marry a virgin, he cannot marry a woman who already was married to somebody. And there's also a lois, I say, says amana layikach. There's two. There's a positive and negative commandment which forbids him from marrying his brother's wife. And the halach is vein asay. The mitzvah asay of Yavama Yava Yaleha cannot push away an asay, a positive vilos asay, and negative command. Elmana erison amai. From erison, why not? The halacha is Yava Yasei, Yitchalos asay, there is an asay of Yavama Yava Yaleha. He should marry his brother's wife. It should push away the lois asay of Amana Layikah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Theoretically, you'd be right. He'd be allowed to do it because of that calculation. But the Chazal made a Gezerah. Gezerah biya rishayna to biya shniya. Theoretically, the only mitzvah is the first act of cohabitation between the brother and the wife and his brother's widow. Anything past that is no longer within the category of Yibum. In normal cases, they can stay married. But for a Kayin, since it is constantly in violation of the issue of marrying an almana, he would only be allowed to marry her with one bia, and after that he would have to leave. Chazal were nervous that if we're going to allow them to have one bia, they'll have a second one. So therefore Chazal said, you're better off doing chalitza than doing yibum, because we don't want to have any problems of a forbidden bia. As it says, Tanin HaMiyach, we see in the Brice that the same thing is true, Kad Mulu Balu Birishayin HaKanu. In other words, he can actually marry her with the first bia. He shouldn't have done it, but if he didn't listen, he did it anyway. Kanu, he was kind to her. The Asur L'Kayim of the bia shniya. He cannot stay married to her with the bia shniya. So therefore, we don't want him doing even the first bia. Shukat.